business where Ludovic was concerned. She was not at all shy of referring to him and his dilatory courtship. Indeed, it seemed to amuse her. Anne sat down again, and together they watched Ludovic coming down the lane, gazing calmly about him at the lush clover fields and the blue loops of the river winding in and out of the misty valley below. Anne looked at Theodora's placid, finely molded face and tried to imagine what she herself would feel like if she were sitting there waiting for an elderly lover who had, seemingly, taken so long to make up his mind. But even Anne's imagination failed her for this. Anyway, she thought impatiently, if I wanted him, I think I'd find some way of hurrying him up. Ludovic Speed! Was there ever such a misfit of a name? Such a name for such a man is a delusion and a snare. Presently Ludovic got to the house, but stood so long on the doorstep in a brown study, gazing into the tangled green boskage of the cherry orchard, that Theodora finally went and opened the door before he knocked. As she brought him into the sitting room, she made a comical grimace at Anne over his shoulder. Ludovic smiled pleasantly at Anne. He liked her. She was the only young girl he knew, for he generally avoided young girls. They made him feel awkward and out of place. But Anne did not affect him in this fashion. She had a way of getting on with all sorts of people, and although they had not known her very long, both Ludovic and Theodora looked upon her as an old friend. Ludovic was tall and somewhat ungainly, but his unhesitating placidity gave him the appearance of a dignity that did not otherwise pertain to him. He had a drooping, silky, brown mustache and a little curly tuft of imperial, a fashion which was regarded as eccentric in Grafton, where men had clean-shaven chins or went full-bearded. His eyes were dreamy and pleasant, with a touch of melancholy in their blue depths. He sat down in the big, bulgy old armchair that had belonged to Theodora's father. Ludovic always sat there, and Anne declared that the chair had come to look like him. The conversation soon grew animated enough. Ludovic was a good talker when he had somebody to draw him out. He was well-read, and frequently surprised Anne by his shrewd comments on men and matters out in the world, of which only the faint echoes reached Dayland River. He had also a liking for religious arguments with Theodora, who did not care much for politics or the making of history, but was avid of doctrines, and read everything pertaining thereto. When the conversation drifted into an eddy of friendly wrangling between Ludovic and Theodora over Christian Science, Anne understood that her usefulness was ended for the time being, and that she would not be missed. "It's star-time and good-night-time," she said, and went away quietly. But she had to stop and laugh when she was well out of sight of the house, in a green meadow bestarred with the white and gold of daisies. A wind, odor-freighted, blew daintily across.